Hey, everybody. Welcome to Motivation Monday. And luckily, it's Monday. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. This is Sell or Die. This is the live version of Motivation Monday. If you're out there, come on in. Everything's fine. The weather's fine here in Charlotte. It's sunny and 73, but that's just inside the studio. I have no idea what it's like outside, and it doesn't freaking matter. Sunny and 72 up here, but it's always sunny and 72 up here. I'm joined today by the great, the talented, the lovely, the bald, Glenn Bill.
Hello, diehards. It's good to be with you. And Jeffrey, thanks for having me in the studio.
It's a pleasure. Glenn, as you probably do not know, is the author of the ABCs of Attitude Hold Up book. Go down to Amazon.com and pick yourself a copy up. It's endorsed by all kinds of people, including me. And
thank you for that.
And the great Darren Hardy.
Yes.
I like Darren. And a bunch of other people that you would know and love, but the book is actually good. And Glenn gives talks on attitude. We have spent the last couple of days together because Glenn is going to be doing a podcast on the Sell or Die Network. And we have decided to, hold on 1 second. Yeah, I gotta go. I can't do that one. we have decided to talk about attitude today.
I like it.
I think it's a very important thing. I think that it's a very important part of our lives. It is, to me, foundational, fundamental. Without a doubt, my single greatest asset, I believe. Maybe I'm a dad. Maybe I'd be the best thing. But you can't be a great dad unless you have a great attitude.
That is correct.
So it is foundational for every single thing that you do. And when you have that attitude, you have pretty much everything you need. And we're going to talk about attitude today with Glenn. But I want you diehards to tell me how your attitude's doing. You know, on a scale of 1 to 100, enter a number right now, 100 being the greatest attitude in the world. Number one would be any politician.
Well, and as you've pointed out, Jeffrey, a lot of people don't know what attitude even is. They may not even know what to put.
It is the way you dedicate yourself to the way you think.
I like it. So, diehards, how are you dedicating yourself to the way you think?
What's up, Jeffrey? You have something on your mind?
Yes, I do. I wanted a gold book if Alex brought
one. A gold book. All right. We'll get you a gold book.
Okay, cool. And has anybody said hey or what their attitude number is?
We got Greg on the line. Monday motivation. Let's do this. Jen's joining us. She says hello. She's remote right now.
Cool.
And we've got Alex, the hand of Alex.
The hand of Alex, a cool like thing from whatever that show was called. I love that show.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah, the Addams Family.
Yeah, the Addams Family.
Sean's on as well. So everybody, make sure you're commenting. Make sure you're asking us questions.
Yeah, don't just be listening without saying anything. Come on.
Yeah, if you have questions about attitude, how you can make your attitude better, let us know. Let us know where you're from. Let us know if you made a sale lately. We want to hear from you today.
Yeah, what in the hell is going on in your life? That's what we want to know. But let's talk about, Glenn, when you go out and talk about attitude, what do you use as a foundational device?
A device?
Yeah, what's your message to transfer your keynote into somebody else's life?
Sure. So, you know, the bottom line is attitude is a choice when it's all said and done.
Right.
And how you show up matters. And how me and you show up to talk with the diehards matters. Mm-hmm. But what matters more is how the diehards are showing up to listen to the message today. And how are you showing up not only in your business, but as a father, as a mother, as a friend, mm-hmm. as a peer? How you show up matters. And how you show up has everything to do with the way you dedicate yourself to how you want to show up.
You know, it's pretty interesting. Some people will come to our Motivation Monday because they have a great attitude and they want to make it better.
Yes.
And some come because they just lost a sale and they're all down in the dumps and they want to get better.
Right.
But in any instance, you want to get better.
Well, I always say if you're not losing sales, you're not making enough sales calls. And we celebrate losing
losses.
Sales. And oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Whenever we say, hey, we just lost a sale, and we all stand up and congratulate each other. You want to stay motivated. Look it, go lose some sales. Make know your vitamin, right?
In the old days when I was cold calling in Charlotte, North Carolina, I would knock on a door and the guy would say, I'm not interested. And I would go, great. The fact that you're not interested helps me a lot because it usually takes me four not interested to get to someone who is interested. You're my second not interested in the morning. Do you know anybody else that might not be interested? And the guy would always keep the conversation going.
Yeah, I would just simply have him slam the door in my face. I'd walk around the house and knock on the back door, and I'd say, hello, sir, I'm sorry, but the salesman at the front door didn't do a very good job. I'm here to make your experience better. They always invited me in.
That's a classic. So salespeople, diehards, there are other ways besides complaining that you just lost a sale. I think that's the main thing you have to look at this. It's not the end of the earth. It's just the end of that mission for that customer. And even then, you may take the first no as a real no, which is a bullshit. You know, you don't take the first no. When you were in high school in the backseat of a car, did you take the first no, did you? Eh? No. So I'm looking at this from the perspective of you never take the first no. You take it as a not yet. Or I haven't provided enough value, or I haven't said the right thing, or I haven't asked the right question, or I haven't made the right statement. But whatever it is, the person is not interested because you are not interesting. Doug.
Greg is on the chat. He says, I loathe being around coworkers that always have a negative attitude. So, Glenn, how do you deal with that situation when you've got coworkers all around you with bad attitudes?
Well, you got to put yourself in a positive shell. My good friend Tom Hopkins used to tell us, we used to walk in the office and we would do this exercise and we'd go zip, zip, I'm now in my positive shell. Whatever terrible bullshit you want to say to me bounces off and goes and sticks on you.
Oh my God.
So that is corny and it's hokey.
Oh yeah, it's corny.
But
yeah.
Jeffrey, hokey works.
Yeah, it does work. Read Think and Grow Rich. People say it's hokey.
Exactly.
But it works.
And the other thing you can do if you want to get your coworkers a better attitude is get into this book, The ABCs of Attitude.
Yeah.
We have 10 attitude boosters. And you know what? Attitude booster number one is simply called be nice. So all those negative people with horrible attitudes, force them to give a compliment to every person in the office and watch their attitude change. How many compliments can you drop in 30 minutes? It's a great competition for a negative attitude work environment.
This is a formula. When you go to the airport and you meet people that are rude, every time you tell them to fuck off, you have to give one compliment in exchange for it so that you're in the groove with them. Because you want to. You want to do like five in a row.
Yes.
But that's just part of the deal. Doug, you got another one?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, as difficult as it sounds, I mean, sometimes you just can't let others affect
right.
your attitude.
Sure.
And you have to take care of yourself.
Well, and when somebody is negative, I say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm a thank you person as well. But I think that you have to look at it from this perspective. I will guarantee you, diehards, that there's somebody at work you don't like. I'll guarantee it. And Doug, for example, I don't really like him.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But if you have a situation where you don't like the other person, you have to exchange one pleasantry in order to put yourself in that mood, that right frame of mind. Like, hey, how's it going? Or how about those Phillies?
Here's what I love.
Harper in a second.
To tell salespeople, because salespeople don't really get this. And they complain about their customer.
Right.
And they say, I don't like my customer.
Right.
And I have like this universal saying, if you don't like somebody, guess what? They don't like you either.
Oh, that's most likely.
I mean, unbelievable. So much of this is if you're getting negative from somebody, chances are you're giving negative to them, and you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
If you want, very nice.
Thank you.
Very nicely said. You're a poet and don't know it, but
no.
your feet show it. They're Longfellows. the challenge with any salesperson is that they have to realize that the customer is their money.
Yes.
And
paycheck.
If they can dislike them if they want to, but in the final analysis, it may be your mortgage payment this month.
That is true.
And, some people dislike that as well.
Yeah, exactly. No, everyone dislikes that.
Sean on the Facebook chat shares a few of his techniques that he uses to get that attitude right. Morning meditation, exercise, reading, and affirmations.
I think those all work.
He
must have read the Tim Ferriss podcast.
Yeah, today. I do five things in the morning. I wake up and I write, I read, I prepare, and that causes me to think and create. I don't have to do an affirmation to feel like I'm okay. I did them for a long, long time.
Sure.
And what I do is I just have my goals, post-it note goals on my bathroom mirror, and I affirm those every morning when I get out of the shower.
I like it. That's fantastic.
And it makes it easy for me to do. But diehards, what do you do? That guy had a pretty decent thing. And it doesn't matter. Like, if you read somebody's stuff, if you're reading Ferris or Napoleon Hill or Dale Carnegie, you can put their affirmations up on your mirror. It's fine. It's totally fine. They wrote them there for you to be able to use.
I think getting moving, you know, I think that getting the blood flowing and creating motion.
Yeah.
Motion creates emotion. That's one thing that when I speak, we always start. I am that speaker that everybody hates, and I love it because when I say, I usually will open with, I'm a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go nuts before football games, slapping helmets, and there's a reason, because motion creates an emotion. And football's an emotional game, but life is even more emotional.
Oh, yeah.
And so you got to create that emotion in your life. And the bottom line is simply, very simple, do 100 jump. Jack LaLanne was onto something.
Yeah.
I mean, he was unbelievable.
Cool. I used to watch him with Johnny Carson. Oh. He swam to Alcatraz.
Yeah. I mean, the guys, and lived forever.
Yeah.
And, but he did it with jumping jacks. And here's the great thing. People are spending hundreds of dollars joining gyms, $50 on Weight Watchers to step on a scale.
If you can do 50 push-ups and 100 jumping jacks, you're in pretty good shape. I used to wake up every day and run. And I found out that running does not help you live longer. It just seems longer.
Well, it wears out those knees.
But I was never in the shower feeling bad.
Right. Yeah.
Never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my secret to success is now my exercise is limited to racing my kid down the hall.
There you go.
Yeah.
With a basketball.
Hang on. Glenn is a true coach, and he is a true sports person. And I race Gabrielle, who's 10 now, and I can beat her pretty much at random. But I let her win every once in a while to let her feel like she can beat me. But Glenn said, why don't you race down the hall dribbling a basketball? Holy smokes, what a great idea. And Gabrielle has just joined the basketball club at her school. She's 10, and she automatically wants to be in the WNBA.
I love it.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the best basketballs that we can buy, and we're going to start dribbling down the hall.
And your neighbors will love you.
Fuck them.
Right. Well, your place.
Yeah, but in a nice kind of way.
Well, your place is.
A Jersey kind of way.
You got
I own
the
hallway.
Hardwoods.
It's my hallway. Right.
Yeah. Well, you got the hardwoods at your place. So
yeah,
it's
we do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
All right. Adam is on the chat, and Adam would like to know how to keep a positive attitude. So we've discussed sort of transforming your attitude from negative to positive. But once you've done that, what are the keys to sustaining that attitude?
You go and I'll go.
Well,
don't want to hurt your
feelings. It's daily.
Yeah.
I mean, it's repetition. It's the same way it's like eating, right? It's like bathing. We must do it daily. So if you take a day off, it's going to dip down. And it's a daily practice is what it is.
You make yourself feel good every day. The way you start your day will pretty much determine the way you end your day. And so I start the day focusing on myself. I'm the most important person in the world. And in order for me to be my best that I can be for other people, first I have to be the best I can be for myself. So I'm going to sit down and when I say I read in the morning, I read positive things. When I say I write in the morning, I write positive things. And I think the key to that is how you put yourself in that frame of mind. You create that mindset, which is now the key buzzword. Used to be called focus, and before that, Napoleon Hill called it concentration. But it's the same exact thing. The way you put yourself into that groove, the way you dedicate yourself to the way you think, will help you with that positive attitude and maintain it, but you have to do it every day. You can't wake up and have a crappy day.
I always like to say, you know, you feel what you focus on. If you're focusing on shit, guess what you feel like? Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Or what's wrong with, you know, the traffic or all the other crap.
Yeah, so change your focus. I mean, if you don't feel good, you got to force yourself to think of something great. And it can be the same thing every day, or if you get creative, you find new stuff.
If you've just joined us here on Facebook Live, we're talking to Glenn Bill. He founded the University of Attitude, and he's the author of the ABCs of Attitude. Glenn, this sounds like a process to me, like, you know, sustaining this attitude, gaining this attitude, and then working every day to sustain it. I assume, like any process, you're going to have ups and downs, right? Like, people have bad days. How do you recover from that bad attitude day and sort of stay on track, stay on the attitude wagon?
Well, I mean, it's just like working out. You got to build what I call your attitude muscle. If you do push-ups every day, you can. There you go, Jeffrey. Look at that one. You know, yeah, it's not. It's like you can do 5 push-ups a day, then you can do 6, then you can do 10. So you got to build your attitude muscle. And you know, is it a process? I'm a pretty black and white guy. It's a decision. It's not a process. Let's not make this tougher than it is.
Yeah, I agreed.
Right. So, get it done.
You mold yourself, basically. You wake up in the morning and you decide, is it going to be good or is it not going to be good? And there are keys to it. I've given the keys many times. One of the keys is writing everything down or documenting everything, text it to yourself or put it on your iPad before you go to bed. And that way you wake up clear and you're not foggy with, oh, all the crap I got to do. What do I got to do? I got to remember what I got to do. You don't have to remember anything. Once you write it down, you never have to remember it. That's number one. And that creates an ability for you to go in and maybe clear some of the fog before you start your routine. Now you're clear to be able to do whatever you think is best for you, and you get it done.
It reminds me of a saying that your vitality as a person, or as your vitality and attitude, is in direct proportion to your vision. Mm-hmm. And what I find is people that are sloths, I call them zombies. I can see zombies from a mile away. You just walk through a mall and you go, zombie, zombie, zombie.
Yeah.
And they have no vision. And so, you know, to answer the question is what's your vision? And if you don't have a vision, guess what? You're living someone else's.
But here's the deal. You have seen somebody you know at the mall, and they look like they're having the shittiest day on the planet. And you walk up to them and you go, hey, how's it going? And they go, oh, that's great. Everything's fine, perfectly fine. They're happy to see you, and you can actually change the attitude of other people.
No question about it.
And it's the best example lately has been from my she was 9, she's now 10. We flew down to the beach because we were going to beat the crowd. It's a 4-hour drive, it's a 20-minute flight. And I said, come on, we're going to take an airplane, we're going to get there early. You know, get to the airport, delay, hour, change gates, 2 hours, change gates again, 3. They brought out the snack tray. That's how bad they felt about
that's
it.
That's not good. That's not good.
Totally not good. So 4 hours we're on the plane, and the pilot comes on and says, I apologize for the delay. Thanks for flying American Eagle. And Gabrielle screams, you mean American Vulture? And the plane, everyone was in a shit mood. They were in a great mood. In 1 second, they were in a great mood.
So, Glenn.
Yes.
What are you doing here? You want to talk about some of the exciting stuff we're working on?
So, you know, Jeffrey's been a mentor to me for 10 years. I've read every book. I think I can quote damn near about everything
that
he's done.
Well, you do in your
speeches. I do in my speeches, yes.
Yep.
Hello. And
ding on? I don't get a ding for that?
Yeah, you should definitely get a ding for that. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I reference him in the book as well. But when your mentor tells you to do something, right, you do it when it's all said and done. And that's how I am. So the world is moving. Things are changing. Who moved my cheese still exists. There are ways for salespeople, for speakers, for authors, for anybody who's listening to up their game, to spread their dream and their vision. Our vision is to get 1 million people in the attitude movement. And Jeffrey said, you got to do a podcast. But there was only one problem, Jeffrey. I had no freaking idea how to do that.
Exactly.
I had no, and I have minimal talent. And so, it's been a eye-opening day and a half. We're going to do 2 full days. You guys produced a course on how to do a podcast and how to do it right. You know, 90% of podcasts fail, not Jeffrey's. 99% of podcasts don't get 100,000 downloads a month, not Jeffrey's. So Have a mentor copy them is number five. I said, I'm going to find out everything he's doing on his podcast, and I'm going to try to replicate it.
Sure.
And so after these 2 days, which is incredible, anybody that's on this needs to enroll in this course and get this done if you want to take your business to the next level. Not to mention hanging out with you guys for 2 days is pretty awesome. And I got to stop tapping the table. And hello, see, this is the things you learn. Mic control, don't tap the table.
Yep.
But that's what we're doing. And it's been
Don't
swear unless you mean it. And limit your F-bombs.
Exactly.
It's the over and under Gary Vee line there. So I think we're only at 4 so far. So over and under is 8 right
we're
now.
We're good. Yeah, over and under is usually 10. Right. But we're good.
So if you're watching on Facebook or you are listening along on the podcast, Glenn's podcast will be called the Get Attitude Podcast. We're working on it now. So look forward to it in a couple of weeks. We'll have more information. It will be part of the Sell or Die Network, and we're so happy to have Glenn a part of the team.
Yeah,
it's going to be good. Glenn knows a lot of really – let me explain. Glenn tried to downplay who he is or what he does. Can you give me like a one-minute capsule of your business life?
Well,
start when you were 19.
Yeah, the bottom line is I dropped out of college. Started a family pretty young and got into the real estate business.
How young?
19.
Got it.
I got my license at 18, but I started 3 days after my 19th birthday.
Got it.
And I had my first closing, and my broker took half of my check. And I said, oh, crap. That affected my attitude.
Right, exactly.
And it motivated me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I need to become that guy. And 4 years later, I ended up purchasing one of my own franchises. And we ended up opening 3 offices, having about 170 people sell for us, $10 million in revenues. Ching! and then we sold it 10 years ago.
To
my number one competitor.
Cool.
Because we were gobbling up. We were out recruiting and out retaining them. But they're great people, and it was a good merger. And then I started my speaking career, really. I built my business on speaking. I built my business on training. But people said, you need to get out and go speak and get on the circuit and do all this stuff. Well, there was one problem.
What is the circuit?
People ask me that all the time. I'd like to know what it is.
Yeah, I don't think there's
a lot more lucrative.
Yeah. I don't see like a circuit this way. You know what I mean? There's no like sign when you get out of the subway in New York City.
Get on the circuit!
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is I was coaching high school football, but more importantly, I had 4 children. And I said, I'm not going to go on the road. I'm going to stay at home with my kids and I'm going to coach them. Mm-hmm. And their friends,
mm-hmm.
and win championships. Because you know what? Speaking is about as close to winning championships or getting ready for a football game that I can get to.
Cool.
And so that's what I did. I finished that project, and now it's time to not only coach my kids and their friends, but it's time to coach everybody who's listening here on Attitude.
Some of your kids are already in college, aren't they?
You know what? We just wrote our last – hello, Attitude. We wrote our last tuition check for all 4 of our kids.
Cool. So,
my baby is in his last – he's 22. But, yeah, he's finishing his last semester at Indiana State University, home of Larry Bird.
I know where that is, Terre Haute.
Terre Haute, Indiana. Terrible Haute, as some people say.
Well,
I was watching with Jason, my guy that I bought in. He goes, now – MJ, who's that? I said, Magic Johnson. He goes, what did he do? I said, buddy, 1979, one of the biggest NCAA finals ever. So
I saw Larry Bird in the airport in Indianapolis after he lost, his was in a cast and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I just went up to him because I was living in Bean Blossom at the time in Indiana. And I said, thanks for the greatest college basketball season ever watched.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how he could shoot,
it was unbelievable.
The Purdue kid, actually, the other night was reminiscent, but Larry was even better.
Yeah. It was fun to watch him play.
Fun to watch greatness, right? Just like it's fun to watch
Never
Jeffrey.
Gave up, knew how to end, got it.
Yes.
That's
what he did when he won the 3-point competition, if you remember.
Yeah.
He shot that last one and said, this is over.
Yeah.
I'll take my trophy.
So... he took his trophy, but had Steph Curry been in that competition, he would have finished 9th.
True.
It's a different world.
It is a different world, yes.
So talk about attitude. One thing that you tell your audience, when you're ready to wrap up, how do you tell them, go out and do this, go get it done, win one for the Gipper? What do you tell them?
Well, what I tell them is number 10. We end our keynotes on be a part of something bigger than you.
Oh, cool.
And you know what's great? I'm here today. God bless Jen. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not as pretty, and I'm definitely not as good, but I think we struggled through. But you know what? I'm a part of something bigger than me today. I get to be with the diehards on the Sell or Die podcast, and that's what you do. Go out and do something for other people, and man, your attitude will soar because it's not about you.
So for this Monday, you guys, it's about your attitude. It's about dedicating yourself to the way you think in a positive way and understanding that you're responsible for your own success. You can't be blaming other people or other bullshit. It's nothing political. It's nothing economic. It's nothing but you looking in the mirror in the morning, getting out there and getting her done. And once you realize that, and once you take hold of that, somebody said, well, lace up your boots. It's more than that. It's lace up your brain and put yourself in a position where you can win for yourself so you can win for other people. That's where we're at right now, diehards. I want you to have a great day out there. I want you to go out there and knock them dead.
Kick them in the ass.
Bingo. But kick yourself in the ass. Once you are best you can be for yourself,
yes,
then you can be best you can be for others, whether it's family or customers or coworkers.
And it's your choice.
And thank you for being on Sell or Die. Get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.